best this world has to offer. No wonder it has fallen to ruin.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Hello and welcome to Ready Check episode number 5, the podcast where we're the noobs so you don't have to be. This week we'll be looking to cover the new LFR wing. It's hard, for LFR standards anyway. We'll also be looking in and going a bit deeper into the 5.3 patch notes, and we'll also be addressing some of the standard kind of guild issues such as social versus raid members. I'm your host today. I'm known as Flaps on Ghostlands EU, where I play as a Disc Priest and part of a casual call raid guild, Harvest Moon. Joining me today are two grumpy old men. We've got Velik, the Harvest Moon guild leader, and Bloodspec DK.
Hello.
How you doing, Vel?
Yeah, I'm alright. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, man. Not bad. We've also got Toe Man, the raid leading, dad-voiced Holy Pally. How you doing?
I'm very honest, it's Tommen, and I don't really like the way that you've lumped me in the grumpy old men category. I'm younger than you. I might be grumpier, but I'm younger than you. Don't forget that.
Well, we'll keep the grumpy being at least. So, Tayman, let's go to you first of all. What have you been up to this week?
In terms of WoW, very, very little. I got crit by real life for a million, so... I haven't really been in game. The first time I've been in game since the last podcast, which we recorded on Monday, was it Tuesday? Was actually tonight, and all I've done so far today is the first wing of Throne of Thunder on LFR. So, I've had a pretty poor week in terms of getting on WoW. So not a lot.
Excellent. Okay. How about yourself? Just a quick mention there. So you haven't done any of the new bosses yet, then? You lucky.
No. So this is going to be a really crap show for me. I'm going to be like, yeah, I can definitely contribute.
You're a lucky man not doing them yet. Believe me. We'll go into the pain. But Relic, what have you been up to this week?
A little bit like Dave. Not a whole deal. I have been playing quite regularly, but it's all been hunting these Zandalari Warbringers to get the mounts that they drop. And also getting so many rep tokens that I'm exalted with all the Pandarian factions that drop from them. And a bunch of my alts are all exalted with Golden Lotus now as well.
And that's without running a single quest other than Golden Lotus.
Yeah, I've not... Well, for example, I'm exalted, like I said, with all of them, including Celestials, Klaxi, and Shadow Pan. And I think I've done 2 daily quests for Celestials before I got bored, and maybe half a day's worth for the Shadow Pan, and I'm exalted with them. Never done any dailies for Klaxi, did a few days for Golden Lotus, and I've got 2 other tunes that are exalted with Golden Lotus without ever having done any dailies for them whatsoever. So, I mean, they're worth farming, those Zandalari Warbringer things, I'll tell you what. And I've gotten a mount from it as well, which is quite cool, the Jade Dino Hunter thing. So apart from that, I've been trying to gear my Shaman. Failing miserably.
We're English, Shaman.
I've got her geared enough to go into Mogoshan Vaults, where I think I've gotten 1 drop in 2 weeks. And other than that, tried to go into LFR this week, did the second half of Tote, which I've done before, did 1 boss in the new ring before I got bored of that and quit. But I've come to the realisation that LFR during the week is not my thing, you know, especially coming home from work and being tired and having to put up with randoms. I'd rather do it on the weekend when I'm at least a little bit awake.
I think Mel put it best last time, didn't he? Or was it yourself, Tom, when you said it was just mitigating against rubbishness? Yeah. That's all LFR is.
It's quite funny because we talk quite a lot during work, Rel and I, and you can tell when he's done LFR the night before, because he'll just come in the morning and he'll be the grumpiest bastard in the entire universe. It's great.
Yeah, and we had the raid last night as well. Which was good.
Of course, yeah, you guys did a raid last night. I think it was just yourself and Al, but we'll come on to that a bit later as well. I'm sure you got a lot to say to myself and Tayman for not being able to make it. But this week, I finally got my new furniture. After getting the names wrong and after doing this every day, I finally managed to get the furniture. And it's cool, but... I don't know, it's kind of a bit underwhelming. I was expecting more when I had it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where you just, you're working on
what
it for
are you
so
expecting?
Long.
Like disco balls or something.
I've got a chair. Yes, I've got a chair.
Well, yeah, exactly. I like chess. But I know it's one of those things where you're just expecting so much for so long and you finally get to it and it's a bit like, that's that. But no, I still recommend getting it. I mean, it makes the farmhouse look cool. I have also done enough LFR for both of you this week. So I've done...
Yeah, well done, thanks for that.
That's no problem.
Can I have the gear that you've got?
If any, I think I've got one set of legs. But yeah, on my disc priest, I've done all 9 bosses, so all 3 wings. And on my monk, I've done 6 bosses so far. So that's including the very newest ones, because I do LFR backwards and I do the newest ones first. Slowly go back until I get bored.
Right.
Which is normally TOT. that's the new bosses in LFR, guys, they are a lot harder, I feel. It takes the whole raid to have to do these bosses. So whereas before you could have a couple of characters pretty much carrying the group, in this, because you got things like the Big Eye Dude, or Duramu, is it? Duramu? because Duraderp, I'll just call him that. Because you got all this purple stuff everywhere, people have to move out of it, and it's not fun. But we'll come on to that a bit in the news section anyway. So yeah, let's actually move on to the news section then.
Seamless, and, mate, never seamless.
Yeah,
as ever. And let's start with just talking about some of the 5.3 changes. So we've seen a couple that have gone up on MMO, well, in the blue post today, sorry. So we've got the Disc Priest Atonement nerf, which, obviously I'm a Disc Priest, so I'm going to be a bit biased on this. I'm not happy about this.
Explain it to us, buddy.
So the Atonement now heals nearby friendly targets for 80% of the damage dealt, down from 100%.
So in real terms, what's that going to do? I mean, do you spend most of your time using Atonement anyway? Even on progression fights, is that your healing style?
Yes. Yeah. So there's two ways to play the Disc Priest, actually. You can either go the completely shielding route, which is when you need to bump up the mastery, or you can go Atonement route, which is when you can bump up the crit. I like the output that the crit gives you, so I've been using Atonement mostly as obviously the main heal, as well as the other heals. It's not like I just smite through every single progression boss. I wish I could. It'd make it life a lot easier. But essentially, that is a 20% nerf to me.
So you're going to have to adjust your playstyle and start shielding more? How do you think that's going to affect you?
I'm going to play around with it. So I'll probably give it another go. So obviously, this is 5.3 anyway. But when I get onto the PTR, I'll probably give it a go, see if it has made that much of a difference. If it's not, although I think it will be, I think what I'll probably start doing is specking into mastery and just playing around the shield specs on that one. And just trying things out as normal, as with any of these changes. And nothing's final at the moment anyway.
Are the two playstyles that different that you can't kind of go some kind of middle ground where you're Atonement spec, but you are leaning on mastery a little bit to increase your shield?
You can do. But, I mean, to me, that feels like a nerf. Because that means that you won't do either as well as if you just stacked kind of crit or mastery. If you're in the middle ground, then it kind of just brings you down to this level where it's not going to be as good as stacking one particular stat in either, if that makes sense. But, yeah, time will tell on that one, I think. But I look forward to trying it on the server, that's for sure. I also read that they are changing Master Spell. So,
okay.
One of the notes say that it no longer dispels magic effects that are normally undispellable. So, I'm not too sure of any magic effects that aren't dispellable. I don't know if that's more related to PvP. I certainly can't think of any which only Master Spell gets rid of. I don't know if you guys have heard of any.
I'm not the one to ask.
of course not. No, you just sit there just tanking. Just hitting stuff with your mace.
I can't imagine it would be anything but PvP, because they're not going to want you to stack priests just to get rid of a boss debuff, are they? So
No, that's what I figure as well. But to go inside with that as well, they've also reduced the cast time as well. So it's been decreased to 0.5 seconds from 1.5 seconds. So now it's even easier to run out of mana on fight where you do actually have to mass dispel, which I still refuse to do.
Really, really helpful when we're on Horridon. Thanks, dude.
I'm really messing. Of course I'll do it. You just have to ask nicely.
No, I have to shout at you. That's what normally happens.
I just want you to let the raid know that I'm doing something helpful. That's all it is. Other changes to classes, which have come to light recently in the 5.3 patch notes. I think there's only one other one worth mentioning at this time, I believe. Shaman, I get into this argument all the time. the lightning bolt being able to be cast on the move. So am I to understand, I don't actually played Shaman, but am I to understand that you used to be able to glyph for this?
Yeah, it was the glyph of Unleashed Lightning, which as a result of these changes will be disappearing and will be replaced by another glyph. But all it's doing is, I think the thinking was that a lot of people were taking that glyph anyway, so why not make a baseline and give people more of a choice?
Cool. So, I mean, I think that pretty much wraps up all the important information that they've entered into the patch notes for 5.3 this week. So let's actually talk about the LFR a little bit then. So again, you guys obviously haven't really done it this week, but they've added three new bosses. So as we've aptly named them in the show notes, we've got the Big Eye Dude, we've got the Big Sorg Dude, and the Big Golem Dude, otherwise known as... I'm not even going to try with the names. Tell me, what are the names of these bosses?
Duramu, Primordius, and Dark Animus.
Excellent. Have you, obviously you guys, I think, Relic, you've done Duramu.
I've done Derpamu, yeah.
Yeah, Derpamu, brilliant. But you haven't done Primordius or Dark Animus yet?
No.
Okay, and Tomen, you've done none.
I am a fat lot of use on this segment, I apologise.
Good effort. Okay, so what were your first thoughts on Derpamu there, then Vel? I'm guessing you went through a couple of wipes, I hope.
We went through one wipe.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, for a new boss, you would think there would be some communication before they actually pulled it. But as usual, there's a lot of assumptions on how easy it's going to be, or lack thereof. Purple shit. Don't stand in it. Something about some light beam... Something, I died, tech res me, died again.
You heard it here first, guys. Ready check, tactic discussions.
Hey, that's all you need to know for LFR. Yeah.
Get out of the purple shit and we're done.
Well, it's a good point though. I mean, this purple shit is everywhere. So, disintegrating ray, I think it is, if I remember correctly. But yeah, basically, he does this thing where he shoots out a laser beam in his eye. And it moves around in the 360, and you've got to avoid this laser beam at all costs. At the same time, moving out of a quite aptly named purple shit. but there's only small holes that appear in this purple shit. So, what I've seen from doing this with my two characters, and I spent, I think it was an hour and 10 minutes on this boss earlier, and we had, I think it was up to 5 stacks of determination as well. Went through many tanks, many players, people leaving, coming back in. But what I've seen that's helping certainly is to put a star on one of the players who's running around and just sticking with them, because otherwise people just do not understand where to stand in this fight. But I think this is going to be a big one. For anyone doing LFR, this is what's going to take the most amount of time to do. And Tomen, I'm looking forward to you finding all out about this.
The problem for a lot of people is that they're having to lower... You know, their PCs are perfectly capable of coping with every other boss fight, but for this one in particular, they're just not seeing the gaps because of the fog and the other purple stuff going on, and it's just layer upon layer of purple rubbish, and they're just not able to see it properly. So a lot of people are having problems unless they turn their graphic settings down, which is, yeah, I guess a lot of people wouldn't even think to do that, would they? I mean, if everything else runs absolutely fine on their PC, then yeah, why would they?
That's a good point. I mean, that's only going to be affecting kind of 25 man raids. I mean, I haven't seen. Is this? Do you think that's a problem in normal as well?
On 25 man, yeah, sure, yeah. I guess on 10, you know, it's exacerbated a little bit by having fewer people, but no, the other way around, not exacerbated. Oh, shut up. Yeah, that.
Excellent. And the other two bosses, so Primodius and Dark Animus, it's less about avoiding stuff, although there is a bit in Dark Animus, but Primodius especially, it's mostly about killing ads, which I don't know what everyone else's kind of LFR experience is, but mine is certainly that people just do not understand this. They see a big thing in the centre of the room and they just think hit, so they ignore everything else that's around it. So again, that took up a couple of my wipes as well. And last but not least as well, you got Dark Animus, which is kind of a big robot dude. But when the fight gets going, it's actually not too bad. But at the start of it, it spawns lots of small ads and slightly bigger ads, and they do kind of a crimson fire thing, which follows certain people around. These people obviously run outside the raid, so it doesn't hit everybody. But again, because there's stuff to hit in the middle, most people don't move out, so you'll be seeing a couple of wipes to that as well. I actually think this new LFR wing is a lot harder. I don't know what it is about it. I think it's probably because you actually do have to rely on the whole raid doing something right, as opposed to the what I said earlier, when you just get carried by a couple of people. But no, I'd be interested to know your thoughts, obviously, after you've done the last two bosses, Mark, and obviously for yourself, Tomen, the all three bosses. But yeah, a lot harder, a lot more frustrating, and a lot more time-consuming than any LFR wing I've done before.
Do you think it's likely to get nerfed? Or because I read something today about how Blizzard are actually okay with where it's sat in terms of difficulty at the minute. So, I mean, do you think they've made a mistake there? Do you think that needs to be tuned down a little bit?
No. The bosses themselves, they're not hard. It's just a few mechanics that go along with these that really make it hard to do. So there's not that much healing, for instance. The tanking's quite simple. It's just avoiding stuff or killing ads. So as soon as people learn to do the bosses a bit further, like next week, I think we'll have a lot fewer problems with it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Once people get used to the tactics, it'll go quite smoothly. But after I dumped out of LFR, because it was a guild run that I dropped out of.
Did you? Was it a rage quit?
No, it was more of a, I don't have the patience for this, I'm going to go hunt dinosaurs instead.
His moment. Cat stood on alt and F4 at the same time. It's just a freak accident.
Oopsies! So after that, we did the first boss, and now we're in there for another hour doing the next two.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't have had the patience for that.
I came close to alt F4 and rage quitting, but no, I went for it for the good of the podcast.
Good man, good on you. I wasn't even thinking of the podcast when I quit, never mind.
Yeah, it's lucky someone did, hey guys.
Suffering for your art.
So moving on to the next topic of the news section. We just found out about some new vendors. Again, was this being put into the PTR?
Yes, in the 5.3 PTR notes.
Yeah, brilliant. So there's a couple of new vendors which have been introduced to a couple of places in Haijiao and Vashir. And they give out a new kind of or better level armour. So it's like the guy in... Oh, God, I completely forgot the zone now. Again, it comes back to me naming things, but... the one in
Pelfin Village.
G-Force. That's it.
Those kind of vendors were all around Pandaria now.
They were, yeah. So the idea behind them is that they will sell items that are around the gear level of quest rewards that you'd get, the green quest rewards that you get in the area. Mm-hmm. And I think mainly it's used as a catch-up mechanism. So in Mists it was because, you know, people might not... They might have missed certain slots in their gearing and still might be using rubbish that they had while they were leveling up through Cataclysm, and so they could just use those vendors to replace little bits and pieces. But this one will be for people who have leveled up with heirlooms, yeah. and obviously at 80, the majority of the heirlooms, I mean obviously some still work to 85, but the majority of them will stop working, so it's a perfect opportunity for people to go and buy new gear at roughly the right kind of item level for where they need to be anyway. It's not going to make them overpowered, it's not going to help their leveling experience anyway in any way, it's just a little way of getting them back on track after they've gotten rid of their heirlooms. So I think it's a pretty good thing to do.
Yeah, me too. Sounds good.
Absolutely. I mean, I find certainly when I'm leveling that five mans just take away from the monotony of questing at times. I enjoy questing, don't get me wrong, but there are some, it gets to a point where you just can't take it anymore. So having the right gear to be able to go into the five mans, I think it's going to help people level up no end.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I suppose it's slightly different because if you're running five mans regularly, then you're also gearing up a little bit. But in my case, where I'm doing recruiter friend, so one of my characters is pretty much permanently on follow. That means that I can't do a dungeon because, well, I probably could, but I feel personally too bad about having one character that's just not doing anything. I'd feel really guilty about that. So for me, it's good because I don't get that extra little bit of loot that you'd get in dungeons. So I mean, I really like it. I think it's a good idea.
I've got to say, actually, with that kind of logic, you should be quite upset about your raid performance.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
I had to drop that in. I'm sorry. Excellent. This is actually moving along quite nicely now. So we're going to move on to the next section of the show, where we're going to talk about obviously our guild issues, some of the tactics that we find that help us in leading guilds and also raiding as well.
We gonna die.
So the first part that we wanted to cover today was it's quite a tricky one. I feel balancing social members with raid members. Is there equality and should there be? We'll go to Relic. What are your thoughts on this one, first of all? Because you are, after all, the almighty godlike guild leader.
Thank you. within the guild, I consider them all equal, but it's funny, the raid team is a little... what's the best word? Not microcosm, but you get what I mean. It's
it's a separate entity, an element in the guild.
Yeah, exactly. It's a sub-entity. So, within Harvest Moon, if you're on the raid team, then you get a higher allowance for guild repairs because everyone from social upwards has access to guild repairs. And that's been like that from day one. But if you're on the raid team, then you get higher allowance because, as far as I'm concerned, most of your repairs will come from raiding for the guild. But other than that, you know, people don't get any special treatment just because they're on the raid team or if they're a social member. As far as I'm concerned, they're all equal. Some people don't see it that way. Some people think I value raid members over social members, but that's not the case at all. That's my position. There you go.
I mean, the guilds, if for us, I mean, other guilds might be different. Other guilds might be focused solely on raiding and therefore they don't have a lot of social members. But for us, we have quite a variety of different kinds of people who make up social members within the guild. And it makes the atmosphere within the guild a lot richer. I mean, I wouldn't want the guild to be somewhere where I only logged in to raid, and I have been in guilds like that before. And so, really, I think it's massively important that you do have, you know, people that are hanging around at all times, and there's always something to do, and you know, the people are friendly and nice, and you can log in to have a chat with your mates, and not just necessarily because you want to go and kill something. So for me, you know, I would say that social members are, in terms of my life in the guild, more important than raiders, because that's why I keep logging in outside of raids.
Yeah, I mean, like you said there as well, you touched on it as well, our old guild was purely raid. So you'd log in during the day, say you've got home early from work or something, you're going to log into World of Warcraft, you want to do a few five mans with your friends. We just didn't have that ability because every single day there would be no one on. And they would get to a Thursday or get to, I can't remember, Sundays with the old raid nights as well, weren't they? So you get to one of those days, you come on, and all of a sudden you've got like 15 people on, and everyone's chatting, having a good time. But it kind of ruined the game for me a little bit. So I really like the way Harvest Moon are, because you can come on at any time of day, and there's always going to be a couple of people on, and the, you know, everyone's very chatty. I don't think there's anyone in the guild that I don't really get along with. Apart from maybe Melgrim. No, I'm only messing. But yeah, it's just a fantastic atmosphere in the guild.
So I mean, you say about balancing social members and raid members. What happens if you have a social member who wants to raid? I mean, how do you approach that?
Well, we do LFR nights. It depends. What do you class as raiding at the end of the day? Because that is still raiding. You can still invite people, and we I know our social officer, she basically runs a LFR night once a week where guildies all come online, they go on Mumble together, and they do the LFRs to make them less monotonous. So, I mean, that is technically raiding, is it not?
It depends what you're after, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, but if they want to join the raid team, they need to apply for it. Essentially, sometimes that's just a case of if we know them, of saying, can I come and raid it, and we have a quick chat, and that's sometimes all there is. If they're one of their social members who is not as, say, as involved in the day-to-day socialness of the guild, that to the point where we know them, then it's a matter of, okay, apply on the website as anyone else would, and state why you want to join, and then they can join our raiding roster. But LFR's there if they want to join in. If we do any alt runs in the future, then they'll be allowed to come on those. But, you know, as far as the raid team concerns, Dave and I need to keep it quite strict in who is allowed in, quote-unquote allowed, just to try and maintain the quality that we have in there.
Or lack thereof.
Because, I mean, it's taking us a long time to get to the point where we are now, where we have a solid group of people, and if we started just letting socials come in for the one-off, then you need to balance that against the content that you're facing and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah. If someone wants to remain as a social member and they want to raid, LFR is there for them. They can do a guild run. Have fun. They'll have the same, I mean, the guild LFR, you get 8 to 10 people along with those. It's good fun. People are in Mumble, they're interacting, they're having a giggle. That's all. That's all they look for.
I think, to be honest, it's approached by you guys, because obviously I have no say in this. But I think you guys approach it dead right. I think you've got your raiding team, which we have 17 people at the moment. For a 10-man raid is probably a bit tricky, but we'll come on to that in just a second. But I think you approach it right, because obviously you've got to keep it to those numbers. If we've got 17 members, then it's only going to be those 17 members who raid. You can't just let someone in every so often, because that's going to annoy one of the 17 who are putting the effort in to get the gear every week. So I suppose you've also got to have quality checks on the social members if they want to come up to raid standard as well. So checking just simple stuff like gems and gear and stuff like that. Do you go onto the armory and do that there?
Oh, absolutely. But it's also checking their commitment to gearing up. Because we had one guy join on his mage initially as a social because his gear was shit. And we said to him, if you want to be on the raid team, you need to get to this certain eye level and, you know, be fully kitted out. And he went ahead and did it. And that was the commitment that we were looking for.
Yeah.
And it's also attitude as well. If someone doesn't have great gear but they've got a fantastic attitude, we will work with them, give them tips on where to get the gear, help them with some runs and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think it's a good way of doing it. And obviously, if someone's got an awful attitude, then they're not getting in no matter what.
No.
Apart from Melgrim.
Apart from Melgrim, but he was a raider to start with, unfortunately.
He kind of snuck under the radar, thanks to Dave.
Yeah, I apologise.
He didn't actually apply. He kind of. I was told he was a good player. You know, it's come to light.
I think I must have been on meth or something at the time.
There were so many lies around that time. Who knows what really went on?
I know, and we'll never know.
Okay, so the next thing as well, I just wanted to try and clear up. So, we, like I said earlier, we've got 17 people in this raid team, this core elite raid team. People obviously who have the right attitude, they want to gear up, they want to get into raids, they want to do the new content, they want to down bosses, but obviously only 10 people can raid each night. So how do you give everyone equal access?
Dave, you want to take this one?
Yeah, so we use a third party tool called Trello, which is typically a tool used by sort of project managers that we use to track our bench list. What we'll do normally is we'll just go on it. The first thing that we need to do is we need to make sure we've got a viable comp. So what we'll do is we'll look at all of the signups, and normally we'll have a whole bunch of people. We'll have maybe 15 people with two people that can't make it, and we'll have a look and see what we've got, make the composition as viable as we can, and then work out sort of who we've got outside of that comp. And then what we'll do is we'll have a look at those people, and maybe there'll be four people that don't quite fit into you know, a decent comp for that night. And we'll have a look at them and work out when they were last benched, why they were benched, and whether they're due another run. And we haven't really got a hard and fast rule with regards to when they're due another run, but we just try and make it fair, I guess. It's really difficult, though. I mean, personally, I find it quite difficult. If I had my way, then we'd have 10 raiders who had 100% attendance and could make every raid, but that's unrealistic, really. We've got a lot of people who can only do one night or the other, so we tend to try and balance them. And the way that we do that is, in order to be fair, we rotate them in and out, same as everybody else. So if somebody can make a Thursday but can't make a Sunday, then they're not automatically guaranteed to make every Thursday. We're not going to pick them every Thursday because that's the only night they can do. We're still going to rotate them out just because that's the fairest way of doing it. There are some fights when you need to take the, you know, a certain tank, or you need to take, you have to make sure you've got enough ranged DPS. And so if we're having a stint of 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, where we're just working on one boss solidly, then unfortunately some people are going to get benched a little more often, and we really try and avoid that whenever we can, but sometimes it is unavoidable.
It's Blizzard's fault.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, while we're working on these early progression bosses in Throne of Thunder, Dave and I basically came to the agreement that everyone should see the fights as soon as possible, while they're still fresh. But everyone's seen the fights now, so now we're going to be focusing a bit more on bringing the optimum team, especially for Horridon, which we really need to make sure that we've got all the dispels and the decursors and all that kind of stuff. So those who don't have that utility necessarily may not see the fight as often as others until we have the puzzle solved,
yeah.
If you want to call
like
it that.
Like priests who don't master spell, I mean, they'll be right down the bottom of my list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told you, if you ask nicely, and if you make a big fuss over me, I'll do it.
And if we move it onto his bar so he can click it.
Hey, I've got up my bars twice now.
Twice?
Yeah. Oh, good. Good man. You don't get to use it twice, you know.
I might bind it to Smite.
Just macro it,
just a quick question about that, actually, and this isn't in the notes, so I'm going to catch you off guard here, but this online spreadsheet, which is what I presume it is, you keep this to yourselves, so this isn't published to the whole kind of guild as such. So do you ever get any questions from people asking about it, or asking to see it, or anybody saying, well, I don't think this is fair, I want to see where I am on this spreadsheet, where am I?
So, I mean, I'm probably not going to be popular for saying this, but at the end of the day, it's up to Rel and I to put a viable team together. And so although I'm quite happy to talk to people if they're benched and they feel like they're being benched unfairly, I'll reassure them that that's not the case at all. But in terms of putting the team together, that's our job, and the buck stops with us. So yeah, I don't see the need to publicise that, to be honest.
No,
I agree.
There's some things that people don't need to know.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
And also, we put loads of notes next to everybody's names, and they're really, really horrible notes. So
yeah.
Well, that sounds more like it. That's the real reason.
Flaps, shit, doesn't master spell, benching.
Right, that's it. G quit. No, I mean, it's fair enough. I think there are some decisions that people just have to accept that the officers are going to make.
The thing about the guild is that it's very good at being a democracy, and we take everybody's opinion on board for the vast majority of things that we do as a guild. However, when it comes to putting together a raid team, it's our job to make sure that we're putting together a team that isn't going to waste the time of everybody else that's in the raid. So mm-hmm. It's really important to us that we make sure that we get that balance right. And so therefore, I don't think that can be a democracy. I don't think there's room for that to be a democracy. It has to be led by wanting to put together the best team that we can do for any given night.
Yeah. And obviously feeling your guys' pain as well. And I just want to implore of our listeners, you know, officers do have it hard. You guys have to make a lot of decisions that you don't want to make yourself, and you know you're going to upset certain people and you don't want to. But constantly whispering officers, asking for answers on why they're not in the raid group and stuff like that is not going to help anybody. So don't do it! Just don't! don't. Just leave it. If you want an explanation, ask nicely in a PM. But don't just go on. As soon as they come online and start whispering away.
I've got this thing. You know the saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease?
I've never heard that.
My position is the squeaky wheel gets replaced.
Oh, it's good. I like that. But before we get too sidetracked into another van, managing the roster. So there's obviously a few issues. You guys normally plan it, so you got a couple of days in advance so people can see if they're going to make the raid or not. So one of the things that we wanted to mention here is this week there were two of the worst players in the raid. Basically, last minute said they weren't going to make it. Myself and Toman. So obviously this is going to cause a lot of extra stress for you here, Mel. How do you deal with these kind of last minute absences? Don't say cry.
Last minute absences don't bother me. I mean, they piss me off, but they don't really bother me.
This is where we get a lecture. Perhaps, are you ready?
Yeah, so, I'm going to get told off now.
let's take this week, for example.
Oh boy.
The basic way that the raid team works is that Sephiroth, we ask for 48 hours notice if you can't make it, which is either letting us know personally or just changing your status on the calendar invite, which is very straightforward, and people have been doing that perfectly fine. And then the raid team is put together the day before, so people have notice of whether they're going to be on the team or on the bench or not on the team at all for that night. So if anyone lets me know after that 48 hours is up, but before the 24 hours when the team's put together, that's fine, I can manage that. After that 24 hours when the team's been put together, then it becomes a bit stressful. So, you told me, I think it was Wednesday night, that you couldn't make it, which was fine. The team had been put together, but we could manage that. But then, unfortunately, Dave had a load dropped in his lap on the Thursday morning and sent me a message saying, I can't make tonight. And then it was basically scramble stations because we had 12 hours to put together a viable 10-man team. And we had people who had been benched, we had people who had not been selected at all, and they were aware of this because it was on the forums already. And so that's where it came to, how can I get 10 people together with two healers down, one of our normal healers not even available at all, and he had put himself out the week before. How do we get those 10 people together? And so it was a lot of scrambling on my part. I was talking to your other half, Giz, well, because she's off work, so she was very kindly looking on the auction house for me for shaman gear to see if I can gear up my shaman so I could heal. Otherwise I was going to bring my priest, and then I'm sending messages to people on Twitter, you know, direct messages to try and get their attention as soon as possible to see if they're available. And as it is, we ended up coming up with a 10-man team, which wasn't perfect, but it was doable, and instead of going to Throne of Thunder, we went to Terrace of Endless Spring as well, which was still a place that we had to clear. And at the end of the day, we did really well. We got up to Shah. We had three healers instead of two. You know, we could have two healed the place if you and Toman were along, for example, at that gear level. But, well, it is what it is. So short notice absences is something that you have to manage, because you never know what life is. Life's always going to throw you a curveball no matter what happens. It could be an illness. I mean, we have people in the guild who have kids. I mean, if Dave's daughter was sick, then he's not going to come and raid. And if she's sick at 7 o'clock at night, he's not going to come and raid an hour later. You know, things like that. It's going to happen.
The thing is, as well, is that we're a guild who try and attract people who are in, you know, young professionals and people like yourself, Ral, who are really old. So you know, we're not looking for people who are in school and who, you know, don't have any commitments. We're looking for people who have work, and we're looking for people that, you know, are slightly older and slightly more mature in that, and that comes with the territory, really.
Yeah. So it then comes down to, I mean, my issue, and I raised this with the officers today, and I had mixed feedback, but I won't go into too much detail. but it was, and I've spoken, I think, about this on the show before, but I know I've spoken with Dave a lot about it, and that's trying to get make sure that people have viable off-specs and alts. Because while we're not Method and Blood Legion and at that level, it is their way of working something that I really like, which is making sure, or trying to make sure, that people have options that they can offer to the guild. Because ever since I started raiding in Wrath of the Lich King, I was tanking, healing, DPSing, and that's something I've always tried to maintain to various levels in this expat, but I'm getting there. And that's something that I prefer people to want to do. Some people don't want to heal and tank, and that's fine. But, you know, if you're a DPSer, maybe have a melee and a ranged option. Yeah, it's just things like that. And that's something that I'm trying to push forward with the guild to try and get more people to do that. But that comes down to a certain commitment level as well.
Yeah.
So, fortunately, we had two people who were able to cover as heals. One's normally an unholy DK, and he came in on his shaman. Another one is an elemental shaman, and she switched to resto, and we really missed her DPS, and she didn't really enjoy healing, which is a shame. But, you know, we managed it, but it was, if we had a more solid idea of, please, do your best to have a viable off-spec or viable alt, then we would have had more options available to us, and that's that's the little core bit of my rant. And, you know, I've had some fallout from some of the officers over this, some people misunderstanding my position. I think Dave is on the same wavelength somewhat, or maybe completely.
I think I'm
making assumptions, but that's my position. Managing a roster, bloody well.
Yeah,
rant over.
I think people should realise that obviously the off-spec thing, and when you ask people to do this, it's not saying that you must do this, otherwise you're not going to be in our guild. Yeah. That's not what it is at all. It's just to the point that it helps us, you know. So everybody enjoys raiding, I hope. Otherwise, why sign up to it? But yeah, if you enjoy raiding, then you're going to want to raid the two nights a week where we've actually signed up for it. So, you know, you are going to get these situations, like you said before, Tobin, that people are going to be out, and there's going to be certain things that come up last minute. I mean, my disc freeze, I've got two healing specs because I don't know, I'm cool. but I'm actually leveling up a tank as well, just in case a tank can't ever make it. And I've also got a warlock as well who can step in, and I keep all these guys reasonably geared. And I do this because I've obviously got a lot of spare time, and also because I like to help out the guild when we need to as well. I don't know, asking people to go kind of like dual spec and such like this, and having a couple of viable specs to raid, it's not that much to ask, is it?
Well, personally, I don't think so, but Dave, sorry, mate.
No, I mean, it all comes down to the attitude that we're looking for in our raiders. I mean, we want people who want to raise, who actively want to raise. And I think for the majority of the people on our team, we're probably at the stage where, you know, they'd be quite happy to step in at short notice on one particular raid night where we're missing something. And that's the attitude that I really like. That's something that I look for in our raid team, because, you know, at the end of the day, it is a team sport. It's something that we all do for selfish reasons. I mean, I personally like doing it because it's something I enjoy. I don't do it, you know, for the love of you guys. But
I was going to say, do you do it for power? Because you're in charge of the raid.
A little bit as well. I like putting on my little dual sergeant's hat and shouting at people. But no, I mean,
bad boys.
The thing is, I really enjoyed that, and that's something that is really important to me. So if it means that one night I have to do a role that I don't particularly enjoy, then it's not like I have to do that permanently. It's that I'm doing something that I might not necessarily enjoy in the short term in order to do something that I do enjoy that night. So it kind of, for me, it's all about that attitude of wanting our raid to succeed, and of wanting to go in and to raid that particular evening, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, that, don't get us wrong, we're not gonna create a forum post tomorrow and say you all must have an off spec, but it's something that we'd really like to encourage.
I'm blank, aren't I?
Yeah. you will. I have to tone you down a little bit, but no, it is something that we'd really like to encourage, because it makes our lives easier in terms of putting a raid together, and also it just means that we're protected a little bit more against not being able to raid. I mean, we had some major problems last Christmas where we were short a few key people and didn't raid for 6 or 7 weeks. And because of that, we didn't clear 5.0, which is, you know, a massive thorn in my side, because we want to clear the content when it's current. So so if we can avoid that from happening, and if the way that we can avoid that from happening is by a few people having viable off-specs or viable alts, then brilliant, that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, I agree. And without going into it too much further, because I think we covered most of the bit there, in conclusion, get a secondary spec to beat the life boss. Simple as that, really. If you want a raid, get a second spec just to help out the raid leaders and obviously the guild to when it comes to raiding.
If you can, you know, if you can.
Yeah, if you can.
And Rel will say, no, bloody do it or I'll kill you.
Exactly, do it anyway.
There we go, two conflicting points of view. Let's hear everyone else's views. Send us your views on Twitter, which is @ready_check. But let's move on to the next section, which is the race to world first. Relic, how are we looking?
Oh, it's getting good, it's getting good, it's getting good. Blood Legion are 12, 13 now, joining Method and Paragon.
Yeah.
Exorcists are now as well. Yeah, the Russian guild. Okay. So it's getting good. Method and Blood Legion have both posted their Lei Shen kill videos.
Yep.
If you want to see a relaxed raid turn to a heart attack in just a few minutes, watch the Method one, because around the 8-10 minute mark, it switches from them having the banter and the fun of a guild that knows a phase back to front to a guild that suddenly realizes that they're in with the chance of getting a kill, and there you go, super serious within a split second. It's amazing to watch. Unlike the Blood Legion one, where Rignaros is going absolutely burko from the first pull.
Of course you do, right?
The star!
Did you have your Blood Legion t-shirt on when you were watching this, by chance?
Going, rah, rah.
His little Rignaros plush toy that he's got, you know, sticks his hand up and...
Oh, I'd love one of those.
So we've got 18 guilds that are at 11-13, now we've got 4 guilds at 12-13. I reckon Dream Paragon are going to have Raden down within the next week, personally.
Okay, so first kill 10.
Yeah. So Method have had a full week ahead of Blood Legion, I think, on Raden attempts. Now, obviously, those are limited attempts, but, you know, they spread that out over a few nights and discuss tactics during the week. They're going to be far ahead of Blood Legion, so I think 25-man Method will clinch this. Dream Paragon have obviously got a clinch for the 10. Although Moons are not that far behind, they're only 2 kills behind, or 1 kill behind Dream Paragon now, so in the 10-man roster, as our refuge. That are coming up slowly. So yeah, it's getting good. I reckon within the next week or two, we should see both 10 and 25s down Raden, but we'll have to see.
Do you think that's a good time frame for this content cycle?
I think so, because how long has it been? 2-3 weeks now for this? If you think that last tier, each heroic mode went down in a week each. So if this goes to 4 or 5 weeks, I think that's all right, considering the play level. I mean, the play level of these guys now compared to Cataclysm is amazing. It's amazingly high. I think it helps that so many guilds died during Cataclysm. So the best players kind of in the EU kind of went towards Method and Envy and guilds like that. And in America, it's, you know, going to Blood Legion and Vodka and those kind of guilds over there in Exodus. So you've seen a consolidation of talent in the last year. So that's why these things are going down so quickly, I think.
Yeah. I don't think I'd like to be in Blizzard's position when I'd like put in new content. It must be getting hard for them to actually beat how good these players are becoming. to make anything last more than a week is a lot of effort.
Their internal testers can't be anywhere near on the same level. I mean, I'd like to believe that they are, but I just can't see it. I mean... I have to believe that Method and Blood Legion are just far and above what even Blizzard's internal testers can do.
Yes.
I mean, okay,
we saw
Blood Legion fail miserably at the challenge mode against the Blizzard guys, but I think that was probably...
But they didn't have their best players.
Yeah.
Well, you think that was staged? Because that's quite a big call. Excellent. That's going to bring us on to our final section, which of course is the mod of the week. I think Toman, you're taking this week's.
I have got this week, yeah. So the add-on that I'm going to talk about this week is called Rayleigh's Spell Announcer, which is an add-on that basically it's a bit polarizing, to be honest. People either love this add-on or they absolutely hate it, and they hate people that use it. But what it does is it's used to announce different kinds of events and spells that you've got going on. So for instance, if I was to cast a Hand of Protection on somebody, it would either pop up in Raid or pop up in a whisper to said person or whatever, just to say you've got Hand of Protection or so-and-so's got Hand of Protection, just so that people know. It's really helpful for, you know, the healers, just so that they know if there's a big cooldown on somebody. So I find it quite useful. What I would say about this add-on is that out of the box, it is crap. It literally spams everything. Anything you cast, it will just, there'll be a text announcement in Raid, and people will, if you're an LFR, you'll get vote kicked, guarantee. So what you have to do is you have to go through and just look for specific spells that you think are going to be really helpful. The way that I've done this personally is we've got a healer channel. And so I found that my big healer cooldowns that, you know, the Raid don't necessarily need to know about, but would be helpful for the rest of the healers in terms of knowing that they can maybe take a little bit of a break to regen while I've got a big cooldown up. I put those into that custom channel, so you can do that. You can specify whether you output the announcements to custom channels, to Raid, smart group, so that it'll go into your group or whatever. Or via whisper. So the best thing to do would be to just go through all of the options, just only use the spells that you think are going to be useful for the Raid to know about, and to make sure that you put them and only them into your config.
It does spam quite a lot.
It does, it can do. I mean, you do see people that run with it straight as it is out of the box, and yeah, it annoys me quite a lot. But it's a really helpful tool for Raid leaders, because as well as being able to see, you know, when people are using their big cooldowns, it's also great in terms of knowing when somebody's getting resurrected. If you're doing single reses instead of a mass res, you know who's resurrecting who, and stuff like that. You know when things have been interrupted and what it was, so you can see whether somebody's interrupted the right ability, and if they haven't, you can tweak that for the next attempt. It's really helpful for all kinds of different things.
Yeah, I've certainly found it really useful, like you said, in the healer channel as well, so it doesn't spam the entire Raid. Keeps everything nice and clean for that. But in the healer channel, obviously I can see, because you're normally healing a tank, I'm normally healing the other tank. We normally have, obviously, certain points we're going to have to put our major cooldowns on one of them. But I can see exactly when you've got a cooldown in your tank, and perhaps then if that tank's the only one actually tanking at the time, if it's a tank and spank fight, I can then concentrate on the Raid a bit more while that's going on. So for healers, I'd certainly say that this one's important, really. probably important for tanks as well, really, to let the healers know when the damage cooldowns.
Well, also for taunt tag as well, it'd be quite helpful to know when a taunt's been used, so that you know if you need to sit back and use your, you know, non-generating threat rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Noted.
Yeah,
that was very pointed, wasn't it?
I taunt precisely Excellent. When I mean to.
Yeah, never a moment before.
Sometimes. excellent. So we'll post up the link on that on the in the show notes after the show, obviously after it's posted. But with that section over, that sadly brings us to the end of the show. Please remember, any questions, or if you'd like to submit any ideas to the show, please email mailbag@readycheck.co.uk, or of course follow us on Twitter if you're not already, which is @ready_check.
It would be really good to hear from any of you guys about the roster issues that we were talking about earlier, because, you know, Rel and I, we're not experts. This is just what we do in our guild. It would be really, really helpful for us to understand how you guys are doing it as well. So please get in touch.
Absolutely. And I think it'd also be nice to hear your guys' views on LFR, the newest wing. Do you think it needs nerfing or not? And Tobin, I look forward to hearing from yourself on that one as well when you get around to doing it.
You've scared me a little bit. I don't really want to do it.
Easy modus, easy
mode. You should be scared.
Oh.
But thank you all for joining us this week, and join us next week for Ready Check episode number 6.
Woo.
Bye.
Cheerio.
Bye.